You've tuned in to Check on Your Mates, a limited series podcast dedicated to men's mental health. How has the perception of well-being evolved for men over the years? How have veterans, athletes, physicians, and other leaders coped and inspired other men in their careers? Listen in as your host, Katie McSweeney, talks with them about their pivotal moments, the trials and the triumphs on Check on Your Mates. Here's Katie.
Welcome to Check on Your Mates. We have with us here today a really special guest, a hero, Blake Watson, former U.S. Marine, Corporal Blake Watson, actually. Thanks so much for coming in today, Blake.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. He's a local Texan, and just his story is really inspirational. We're going to talk about mental health today, ultimately men's mental health, and it is a silent national crisis, is something I like to say, just because 79% of suicides are actually men, and people aren't talking about it. And it's something that's normalized for guys with a lot of their buddies. They're just used to losing buddies to suicide, and it's just really unfortunate. And I really appreciate you coming in and talking more about your story. I know that you really have a great story to share, something that you went through personally, just your time serving and just the aftermath of that. And that's something that I've always just been really passionate about too, is the lack of resources available for those that bravely serve. I can't even imagine what you went through, what you saw, and just thank you so much for your service. Just to start off, but would love to hear a little bit more about your story and just how the awareness of mental health has changed as well that you've noticed.
So, yeah, I mean, I was in 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. I joined the Marine Corps in March of 09. I got attached to 3-5 at the end of 09 after going through all my infantry training and stuff like that. And then we deployed to Afghanistan in at the end of September of 2010. So we got there, we were there for just a little over 3 months. I got injured December 14th of 2010. We were doing a dismounted foot patrol, and knelt down on top of a pressure plate IED when we were looking to make entry into a building. Left leg above the knee, my right leg, I have a skin graft that goes from the middle of my thigh all the way down to my ankle. And then my left elbow is actually held together by a plate that runs all the way from here to here and about 19 screws that hold it together. So that was my injury at that point. But you know, the injury is one thing. It's that journey afterwards. Mm-hmm. That was the struggle, what you're talking about, the mental health side of it. Going from being a point man for an infantry platoon, basically I'm in the front. If we go left, we go right. We go to this house, we go to that house, whatever. It's choices that I was entrusted to make. Being, you know, considering myself an alpha in that sort of situation. And then to come home and every single day, every other day you're having surgery, every single day you're in and out of hospitals. Once you got discharged from the hospital, it was doctor's appointments starting at 7 o'clock that went all the way to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so much so that I even looked at my, military occupational service, your MOS, and what said 0311, which is a rifleman in the Marine Corps, was changed to the word patient. And so my title, everything that I had was taken away from me, and I was literally deemed a patient. My only job was to wake up and go to doctor's appointments every single day for 3 years.
I can't even imagine what that was like. It's kind of grieving the loss of the identity in a way. It's something that you've worked hard towards. Yep. So tell me a little bit more just about how that effect that had on you.
Yeah, so waking up every single day and the thing you see outside of your window is a hospital, right? And that's what you went from. You're already dealing with the guilt of, right? Why didn't I die? Right? Why was I allowed to live? Why am I here at home? I get to see my family, right? I'm good. I don't have to worry about that danger anymore. I'm back home and all my guys are still there having to fight every single day. So you're dealing with that. And then you're dealing with every single day you wake up, if you're late to an appointment or I haven't slept in 3 days, I finally fell asleep at 4 o'clock this morning. Now I'm in trouble because I didn't show up for formation at 7 a.m. and I missed my first appointment at 8 a.m., right? And so now you're having to go stand in front of leadership and you're getting disciplined because you're missing an appointment. So you're still held to the standard of a Marine, right, which I understand. But at the same time, when you're force-fed all these opiates and these mental health, you know, sleep meds, anxiety meds, depression meds, like it's this constant battle. If you're trying to sleep, but you don't want to go to sleep because the nightmares are too bad, but then you finally go to sleep and you can't sleep because you're waking up from the nightmares, but then you finally get to sleep and you're getting some restful sleep, then you miss an appointment, then you're getting in trouble, now you're getting ranked, now you're getting pay taken from you, and things like that. So it's this constant battle of you're trying to do the right thing, but at the same time, you're trying to heal, but it doesn't matter. It's almost like a lose-lose through that whole process. And I tell people all the time, I'd rather step on an IED 10 more times than ever do that rehab process ever again.
Wow. Well, it sounds like the aftermath was really the hardest part. It's really brave that you're able to serve in the first place. And it just speaks volumes, too, of just the aftermath and what our veterans go through, that they would rather serve the battle than go through that initial aftermath right then and there.
Yeah.
And have you experienced just growing up losing any of your buddies? Because I've just noticed a trend from my life, at least, and I know with veterans it's even higher, that it's always men that you lose.
Yeah. So, I mean, right, growing up, I didn't really have to deal with it. But after, when we went to Afghanistan, so we were there for 7 months. And in 7 months, there's 25 Marines that were killed and over 200 that were wounded. Right. And then since coming home from that, the amount of people that have taken their own lives since, I've lost count. The last time that all of our guys got together, and we're up on the hill in California, in Pendleton, where the crosses are at, the amount of names that got brought up after the fact, I lost count of even trying to count all of those names for people we've lost since coming home. Right. So it's this never ending battle that's always going on. Right. That's why the check on your mates, it makes a lot of sense, man, because you've got to always be checking in, even if it's, you know, it's not as much as we want it to be, but you still got to check in, because just that little bit of checking in can remind somebody that there's still somebody out there that loves you. Mm-hmm. Even though you might live hundreds of miles away from each other and you don't speak anymore, you still got those people out there that care about you. And that's the biggest thing is a lot of times people come home with the guilt for what they had to do while they were at war, or guilt from surviving when their friends didn't and things like that. It's those little things you have to remind them that there was a reason you were given a second chance. There's a reason you're still here. Right? If nothing else, you need to live for those guys that didn't make it home. You need to live for those guys that you feel might feel guilty about. Right? It's your job now to live your life to the fullest, because people risk their lives to save you in that moment. Right? And it's almost, in a sense, you're almost spitting in their face by not taking the full advantage of that. And so that's why every single day, no matter how hard it feels, no matter how sorry I feel for myself, things like that, you just got to wake up and keep going. You got to keep pushing, because people risk their lives so that you can still be here with your family. Don't take advantage of that.
That's a really admirable way to look at it, you know, honoring the lives of those you lost, like living for them too, essentially.
Yeah.
And how do you check in on your friends, and how, for you, like at your lowest, would you have liked to have been checked in on?
So, I mean, for me, right, I'm sure that I could always be better at doing it, reaching out more, but it's simple things, right? We're texting and things like that. If you've got it, reaching out through social media, if you've got that means, right, phone calls go a long way. But, you know, everyone's so busy now, even just a little text here and there can just remind people that, hey, I'm still here. I'm thinking about you.
Right.
And things like that. For me, I mean, once I finally retired, I retired in December of 2013, moved home, went straight into a separation, which led to a divorce that I had for my wife at the time. And so I was living in uptown in an apartment, had an air mattress, a laptop, and a pistol. It's the only thing I had in my house. Went to bed every single night trying to figure out why I needed to wake up the next day. And I spent every single moment of the next day trying to figure out if I could take all these pills and just go to sleep and never wake up again. Or quite frankly, just take the pistol and end it all. Right. That's just kind of what it came down to, because there was nowhere I was expected to be. There was no one that had anything for me, right? The way that I felt, right? Looking at it just at my way. It was no one wanted anything from me. No one expected anything from me. I had no one to provide for. All of my identity was stripped from me, right? What was the point of waking up every single day? I had a pain pill addiction that wasn't even an addiction to get high. It was just an addiction to not die, basically, right? So I'm eating these opiates like Skittles every single day just so I don't go into withdrawals. And so it was just watching myself just slowly just die, right? It was like, what's the point of just dragging this out? Let's just get it over with. Like, fuck it, right?
Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so glad that you chose to fight and that you're here today to tell your story. And I was reading too that men who are divorced or men who are single or just isolated in some way are more likely to contemplate suicide or suffer from depression or anything like that, just because the loneliness really hits men more because of the way men and women communicate.
it's kind of that perception, right? Like, as a guy, no one cares.
Right.
Suck it up. No one gives a shit. And so a lot of guys, that's just how we view it, right? Your problems, or someone else has worse problems than you, so why are you bitching, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just keep your mouth shut. Just shove it down, right? And you can only do that for so long. I don't care who you are. That will come out eventually.
Absolutely. Right?
I've dealt with it myself. I know plenty of guys who deal with it. Some people can deal with it. Some people get help. Some people can't, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, those are the guys a lot of times you lose, that lose those battles, right? And that's why you got to be there to check on them, because you got to let them know they're not the only ones going through it. Right? Mm-hmm. We all experience this in some way, shape, or form, right? Just because I dealt with mine when I did don't mean I still don't deal with it, right? Mm-hmm. I was, to be honest with you, just back in May, right? I was doing 115 in my Jeep looking for a pillar to drive my shit into, right? So it's a never-ending battle, right? You've got to work on it every single day. And there's times where we all slip up. There's times where we have hard times, right? You just have to remember the real reason you're here, the people who actually love you.
Right.
Take a second and breathe, right?
Well, I admire you so much for continuing to fight and just really making such a difference, sharing your story. And what brings you the most peace? Like, how do you get yourself out of that mindset if you find it getting bad again?
Currently, the way that I do that is there's this little boy that I've helped raise since he was 18 months old. He turns 10 tomorrow. So the day that I was actually driving in my Jeep, kind of feeling sorry for myself again, believe it or not, he actually texted me from his iPad while I was driving, right? So you talk about something that kind of recenters me and brings me back into focus lately, it's going to be the kid, right? The kid who's relying on me to be here, the kid who's relying on me to be here for him as he grows, help walk him through becoming a man, things like that. That's my job, right? That's who I have to be here for. So every single time that I feel sorry for myself, I just have to take a step back and realize that it's bigger than me, right? At this point, I don't get to make those selfish choices anymore. Cause at the end of the day, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, right? No matter what, all these problems that we think we have, they will pass, right? No matter how shitty they are, we can get past all of them as long as we just stay focused and remember what's important to us. And so every single day I wake up, it's that child. That's who I'm here for.
What's his name?
His name's Dexter.
Dexter. Oh, well, I'm sure Dexter is really proud of you and looks up to you so much.
I hope so. He's my little homie.
Yeah. Oh, that's so special that you have Dexter. I mean, he looks up to you so much, I'm sure, and it means the world. And I know that you're making him proud every day. And like you were saying, it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And like, once you're in that mindset, sometimes it's so hard to get out of. So that's just good advice to our listeners too, to think of that person or the purpose that you have if you find yourself getting bad again, and knowing that it doesn't mean you're backtracking. If you ever are in that mindset again, it just means that you're going through an ebb and flow, and that if you've gotten it out of it before, you can absolutely get out of it again.
Yeah. I mean, if life was linear, it'd be boring, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's those valleys that help build you and define you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's what you do on those peaks that I think are what help catapult you and keep you from experiencing those valleys so much, right? So taking the time to step back when you're in those valleys, acknowledge it, right? Learn from it, grow from it. And that'll, in my opinion, as you go along through life, it keeps those valleys from becoming so often. It's not going to say that you're never going to experience that again, right? We're all human beings.
Yeah.
We all go through things in life that are going to kind of not set you back, but might bring you down for a minute. It's just all about how you deal with those. Remember what you've been through. Remember that all of this is temporary. Just remember why you're here and keep pushing.
I love that. If you could tell something to your younger self, what would you say?
Give yourself some grace. A lot of what I've wrapped my own identity in is the things that I could provide for other people, right? Kind of lends into why I joined the military. I'm kind of a protector, a provider. That's kind of just how I speak my love language. And I've wrapped almost all of my identity up into based on whatever I could provide is what my worth is. I would say just give yourself a little more grace and a little more credit, right? I was a little too hard on myself a lot growing up, thinking that I was less than because of what I was able to provide. But it's not the case, right? And I've learned that as I've gone along, and I've taken some pretty gnarly life lessons to learn that, but we're still here.
Mm-hmm. So obviously Dexter was a turning point for you too. So just going back to when you're at your absolute lowest and you just felt no way out, what else was a turning point for you?
So actually, you know, prior to Dexter, meeting David, finding the gym, Adaptive Training Foundation, all that, that would probably be the bigger turning point right there. So I retired at the end of 2013. I met David at the end of 2014. And started going to the gym and started getting just more physically active, back into that, back around people who were adaptive athletes too, right? Military people, civilians who had been in car accidents and things like that. Just kind of more like that camaraderie you're used to in the military, but it was kind of with civilians and military, but that were also like adaptive athletes. And so just getting that sense of camaraderie back in, getting back into the gyms, physical activity, had a place where people wanted me. Yeah. People expected me to be there. People were wondering where I was if I wasn't there. It was that sense of purpose again, right? Like that's all I need. I need a sense of purpose, a way to serve. And so being able to show up, work out, be a part of those programs, help other new athletes that came in, eventually led to being able to work for the foundation, right? Doing photography, doing videography, doing merch, things like that for the foundation, right? And then I got to pour that back into those guys. But at the same time, it was kind of selfish of me because I got to tell their stories and watch them grow. And watch them see themselves in the beginning and they don't think they're really progressing. And then they see themselves at the end through a video of their progression. And you see their eyes light up and you see that life come back into them. And selfishly, that was soul feeding for me, mm-hmm. right? And so every 9 weeks, I got to do 10 new athletes and I got to tell their stories and I got to continue to grow from that, right? So it's about getting out from behind a rifle. I just got behind a camera, right? It didn't change, right? I'm still working, trying to tell these people stories and provide a little bit of happiness to them to let them know that, like, we've all gone through this. If you just stay with it, stick to this program, be who you are, commit yourself to it. It's only 9 weeks. The person you're going to be when you come out on the other side of this, you won't recognize.
That's
and so
priceless.
Getting a part of that, getting to pour back into that, getting to meet all these people through that, like, that's what was the initial turning point for me. That's what caused me to flush the opiates down the toilet. That's what caused me to kick all the habits that I had and really, you know, devote myself back into giving back the best way that I could. And so... that's what I would say that. And then through that is where I met my girlfriend. And then that's that's her son, Dexter is. And so, you know, being with her and raising him with her is what also added more purpose back to my life. Right. So that was purpose outside of work. So I had the work purpose, but then I had a family purpose at home. And so that really kind of helped catapult me, out of that little rut that I felt like I was in. And so by 2015, we were sprinting.
That's so special. Yeah. How long have you guys been together?
Yeah, since 2015.
2015. Right? So, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
8 years. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Well, those of you who are new here, new listeners, Adaptive Training Foundation, go to adaptivetrainingfoundation.org. It's really a great, great program. And a lot of veterans are able to find a lot of value through it. And definitely check that out. By David Vibora. So he's actually connected a lot of the Check and the Mates guests as well. Special shout out to Nick as well, who works with David. And yeah, you guys definitely should check that out. And I'll put a link to donate as well. But that's amazing that you're able to find that community and, you know, that purpose. And selfish people wouldn't say, well, this is selfish of me. So it just shows that you have a great heart and you know, that you just are more worthy of being here today to tell your story.
Thank you.
But what advice would you give to someone who is just feeling at their absolute lowest and not seeing a way out?
I would say some things you could do is like take a self-inventory, right? Take a self-inventory of the people who mean something to you,
mm-hmm.
the reason why you feel like you have love in this world. Right. When I took a step back and realized like, okay, like I have this family, I have these friends, I have these people that do love me, right? Even though I feel so isolated because I don't think anyone understands what I'm going through. People don't have to fully understand what it is that you're going through to be able to help you, to love on mm-hmm. you, to help guide you in any way that you need, right? And so just be able to take a second, remember the people who are here that love you, remember that everything will pass. Just wake up every single day, find those small victories, right? Small victories being like, take my dog out, do a load of laundry, make sure that the dishes aren't in the sink. These little things, right? If you could just do 3 of those a day, wake up before 10 a.m., right? Like little things. You could stack those little things up. Those little things start building into momentum. And every single day you wake up, you start knocking out those three things, and you knock out those three things, and now you want to do five things. And you knock out those five things, you want to do seven things. And it's those little victories that will stack up over time that'll help get you back into that momentum, into the swing of things, that'll help start bringing things back around. And I think for me personally, just getting back into the gym, sweating, like getting that blood flowing, really helps a lot, right?
Yeah.
Especially like if you have access to things like sledgehammers and tires, you can really take out some aggression on some things, right?
True.
And so physical activity and just remembering the people who love you around you, and just taking a step back and realizing that no matter what, this will all pass. You just got to fight for a little bit. It's what helps us grow, though, right? It's what defines us. Like I said, if it was flat and linear, it'd be boring. It doesn't build character that way.
Tell me about the best day of your life. Ooh. And you probably haven't even experienced all your best moments yet. I mean, there's so much joy ahead, you know?
Right. I would say one of the best days of my life would be the day that I was able to take every opiate that I had, flush it down the toilet, and spend the next 3 days thinking I was going to die, but coming out on the other end of that, not having to go to the hospital, not dying from the withdrawals of opiates, right? Being able to come out on the other side of that and realize that I can conquer anything. It does not matter what you put in front of me from now on. I will destroy it.
Absolutely. Right?
And so I would say that was probably one of the bigger defining moments, like moving forward, that I'm forever grateful for. Cause I know how much of a burden that addiction is to kick. And I know that a lot of people don't ever make it out of that. Mm-hmm. So being able, and not just the opiates, right? Like all the sleep meds, anxiety meds, like all the medicines that I was on, the list is insanely long. It would blow a lot of people's minds. And it was just in 3 years, all those medicines that I was on, and it's cold turkey one onto the next one. Like there was no, it was crazy.
Wow. That's incredible that you're able to pull yourself out of that. So it's like really like anything moving forward has nothing on you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you went through the darkest period. So there's just so much joy ahead for you, I can feel. And it's just only upward trajectory from here. So that's amazing. Yeah. But how can females, so obviously your girlfriend, she is a huge joy to your life and helps you through those low moments. So how can partners, whether girlfriends, wives, daughters, moms, like how can we best show up for the men in our lives? What are some tools that we can learn to best advocate and be there for the men in our lives?
Just because he's silent doesn't mean he's mad. Sometimes just the silence is us kind of processing our own thoughts and emotions in our head. So if he's being silent and he's telling you nothing's wrong, don't take offense to it. He's probably just trying to figure it out on his own first.
Right.
I will say this, if a man is comfortable in talking to you in those situations, he'll come around when he's ready. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's going to be us fighting that battle in our own head to start with, to figure out if we're being dramatic. And if this is something that, really, you know, warrants the space in our head at the time. But I would say just letting him know that you're there, right? Not prying, right? If he doesn't want to talk about it immediately, don't get mad at him for telling you nothing's wrong when you know something's wrong. Just give him a second. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that they're always there and ready to talk without prying, without making you feel, guilty for holding something from them. I think that goes a long way. Just knowing you're always there to talk without feeling pressured into talking.
Mm-hmm.
That means, for me personally, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Knowing that I could just talk whenever I needed to, right?
That's good. Just giving space to process.
Yeah.
Are there times where you say, leave me alone, but don't actually mean it?
No, but that's just not how I operate.
Right.
If I want you to leave me alone, I'm going to tell you to leave me alone for a minute. I'll be like, just give me a minute. I need a minute. But for me personally, I don't live that way because I've learned if you want something or you need something, speak up. I don't want to tell you one thing if I don't need it, right? Because if I tell you to leave me alone and then you leave me alone, right? It's not your fault for doing what I asked you, so I can't blame you when you don't come back to me, right? So I'm honest, right? If one thing I've learned from Tony and from my girlfriend, if anything, it's honesty, right? It's always about honesty. So if you got something to say, say it. If you want me to leave you alone for a minute, leave you alone for a minute. Just be honest.
That's incredible.
Right?
Yeah. That's really important for people to take away too.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, my own personal situation, obviously what's inspired a lot of this, I thought like I was being healthy giving space when in hindsight, I wish I had stayed, tried to work out everything, even though I assumed we'd work it out when I was back from a work trip. So it's just every guy is different in how they communicate. So I guess a takeaway for us girls is ask, how can I best support you? I feel like that's like a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's not a way to know if they're choosing to hide it.
Right. I was about to say, and everyone is different, right? You kind of have to learn how people communicate and things like that. But yeah, it's just what's the best way I can support you is a great way to lead with that, right? Just always letting them know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. You just tell me what the best way to support you is. Because a lot of guys think that no one will ever understand them, right? Especially if you're talking about military guys.
Yeah.
They think no one will ever understand them. And they may not understand you, but they could still empathize, right?
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of it's about that too, understanding as the veteran or as the male,
mm-hmm.
right? That people can still empathize with you, even though they may not understand what you're going through at all. People can still be there for you.
Yeah.
And it's just learning to accept that. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we want to be alpha. We want to be hard headed,
mm-hmm.
right? No one gives a shit about my problems. It's not true.
No, so many people care. Yeah. And I can't even imagine what you guys see while you're serving. And I'm sure that's why Adaptive Training Foundation, where you can connect with other veterans too, is mm-hmm. just priceless
right.
in terms of like, you can relate to people who have gone through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any sort of mentor or mentee? Obviously, Dexter, you're a mentee too in a way because you're his father figure, but, have you had a mentor that has helped you as well?
I mean, I would say David a lot.
Yeah,
I lean on David a lot. So David Babur, ATF. Yeah, I lean on him a lot for friendship, for guidance, for whatever, right? He's been a really, really great friend of mine for, at this point, almost 10 years now. I lean on him a lot for guidance. And whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical in the gym, whatever, he's a big person I turn to for things. Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. He told me himself, he said, every man needs a mentor and mentee. And as a girl, I just never thought of that. So that's something that is really helpful to hear. And I was actually telling, a friend of mine who was open about their previous mental health struggles. And they were saying, as a guy, like I've actually attempted before and failed. And then I told them about David's idea of doing a mentorship program for Check and Your Mates, where we can pair people with a mentor, a mentee. That's an infrastructure I eventually hope to build on the website down the road. And he was saying that's something that would help someone like me, because I actually was Googling away like how to find a mentor. Mm. And it's just something that I never thought of before that, you know, kind of comes naturally to guys. Like you want to guide others and also, you know, be guided by a man that you respect and look up to. So I think that's something that's invaluable for 100%. Men. Would you say there's anything else like that, that women don't really know about men that you think would ultimately help actual change if someone is struggling?
Yeah. So like that's kind of embedded in men, right?
Yeah.
Like we all want to leave a legacy.
Absolutely.
Right? And so what are the ways that we can live on after we're gone, and things like pouring everything that you know into your children or your friends or the people who are coming up behind you, right? Clint Bruce, who you got to talk to, said something one time that really stuck with me. It's like, if I could take what I've learned, right, since I got blown up in 2010, it's 2013 now. If I could take what I've learned in these 13 years, right, and I go down the street to someone who just got in a car wreck yesterday and lost their leg, if I could tell them all those things that I've learned over 13 years, right, and if that, all those things, you try this, don't try this, you do this, try this, whatever. If all those things I tell you, and in your recovery process, maybe it only takes you 5 years to get to what you deem normal, right? That's a time machine. That's the mm-hmm. only real time machine that exists in this world. If I could take everything I've learned, teach it to you, and in your mm-hmm. experience, it cuts that time down. That's a time machine, right? And so being able to pour things like that, it makes sense a lot of having that mentor-mentee mentality.
Mm-hmm.
For guys, a lot, that works, because you're always looking to learn from somebody who's already kind of gone through these things. And then you're also looking to always teach that next generation behind you, just because you want to leave that. I want to leave this place in a better way than I found it, right? And so if I could take everything that I learned from people that I value as a man and their principles and things in life, and then pass that on to my child, and I know he's going to grow up a better person, and then he's going to pass that on, right? And I might be gone, but his grandkids are still living in the ways that they were brought up. That's a legacy, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, that's priceless. That's amazing. What is something that you learned that you want to teach to your son, Dexter?
Something that I learned. I would say the things that I want to teach him the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a mantra. Be patient, be kind, and show love to everyone. Right. And I think if you could do those things, as long as what we were talking about, giving yourself a little bit of grace, right? Not being so hard on yourselves when you're learning and you're growing. I think those are the things I want to teach them the most. Be patient, be kind, always be honest, right? Cherish the people that you love. Always tell them you love them. Outside of that, you can't really ask for much more, right? If you're just abiding by those things, right, then I know that from now on that he's going to be a good man. He's going to treat everyone with respect, treat everyone with honesty, right? Treat everyone how you want to be treated, and you're going to be treated the same. And so as long as I know that that's how he's acting, those are his morals that are instilled in him, then I could die happy, for mm-hmm. sure.
Those are incredible takeaways. What are Dexter's interests? Is he into any sports?
He's a video game kid. Yeah, Pokemon. Well, aww. So video games, Fortnite, mm-hmm. Roblox, Minecraft. Real big into Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh. He's into all that, man. So Pokemon speaks to my nostalgia, right? So mm-hmm. yeah, okay. I bond with him over that. He's real big into some animes, Naruto, and My Hero Academia he's into okay. now. Yeah, so we go to little collect-a-cons and little things. We go fun. Buy Pokemon cards and do all that stuff together.
I love that.
We go be little nerds together.
Oh, yeah. How much fun. Yeah. Were you on the Pokemon Go bandwagon?
No, so yeah, I mean, my Pokemon experience kind of stops and ends at the first, like, 150. Like, after that, I wasn't around for it much anymore. Pokemon Go is a big thing, but I never really mm-hmm. got into it.
Right.
But yeah, I know some people that went
head first into that. Yeah, they went hard.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, that was past my wave. But once he got into Pokemon, I jumped right back in on that with him. Yeah,
for sure. I just remember being on a road trip with my sister, and she's like, we have to pull over now. And it'll be like in the middle of a prairie, and like, there's a Pokemon, jeez. And it's this invisible.
Yeah, I've seen them where they'll like go in California to like those big malls, and they'll do like some reveal on the wall and say, it's crazy. It's too much for me.
Speaking of modern technology, though, like, obviously social media has changed a lot of the way people communicate. So would you say there's more awareness coming through just with mental health and also veterans?
Yeah, I would definitely say so, right? Especially because I don't want to say it's like a fad, right? But like, it's more talk about now, right? It's definitely more of a conversation. Mental Health Awareness Month, a lot of people businesses get behind these things. So I think more and more now it's becoming something that's more talked about and, you know, more accepted, I guess, right? Whereas a lot of times it was kind of like hush hush, we don't really talk about those things. So yeah, I think especially in social media now, those things are catching on a bit more. So as long as they're still used for good, right? I don't like people who start using those as like crutches and things like that. So long as your intentions are pure, I think it's something that should continue to be talked about because there's people out there who feel like no one knows what they're going through. Right? And it's not true at the end of the day. There's somebody's out there that's gone through exactly what you're going through, and there's people who've gone through worse than what you're going through.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, turning your pain into a testimony, is what you're doing now, you know? Yeah. There could be someone suffering in silence right now, listening to how you got out of it and just finding that purpose.
Yeah.
And what would you say, like, puts you in flow the most? Like, when do you feel your most true self?
A good workout routine.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of trigger therapy, if you can ever get some in.
Okay.
And going to the gun range, killing paper. That does a lot for the soul.
I bet.
That's good for you. But yeah, I mean, just a routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mind, body, soul, right? Meditate in the morning. Get a workout in as you can. Listen to some good podcasts or something, right? Like that. Something that's good for you. Something that's going to help you grow, whether it's teaching you something that day, whether it's just instilling more of like some of your beliefs in them, whatever you have going on. Just little things every day that make yourself 1% better, right? I know everyone says that now, but if you could just make yourself 1% better every single day, you're going to constantly grow as a person. And you're going to see in a year what the impact is of just that small amount of investment into yourself every day can really do for you.
I love that. And it sounds like you have a lot of self-discipline too, you know, to keep that routine for yourself. And it's, it, I saw this quote and it's like saying the ultimate form of self-love is discipline, self-discipline, mm-hmm. because it's giving yourself everything you ever wanted, sticking to that routine. And
It's hard. Like I'm not perfect. Like I fall off of my routine sometimes, right? And then, you know, excuses will come. Oh, I was busy or oh, I was busy. So then there's still excuses, right? It's giving yourself grace, understanding that, okay, but it's still an excuse. Let's refocus, get back in our routine, get back going, right? Don't be so hard on yourself about it, but also don't give yourself the ability to continue to make excuses and fall out of it too, right? So it's a little bit of the same, right? Holding yourself accountable, but not beating yourself up over it.
How do you hold yourself most accountable?
Let's see. If the best way I do it is I talk shit to myself, right? So like, if I go, you know, a little too long without working out, I'll go change one day, look at myself in the mirror, and I kind of poke fun at myself a little bit, right? Is that probably the most healthy thing to do? No. Does it work for me? Yeah. And so, something like that, or just realizing that, like, you know, doing something normal, a little out of breath, and it's like, man, I have no excuse for bringing in these groceries and sitting here trying to catch my breath at the end of that, right? And so just little things, but for me, I like to kind of just bash on myself a little bit and be like, look, you were just 2 weeks ago bragging on yourself. Now look at yourself now. So you just kind of have to figure out what works best for you. For me, I kind of talk shit to myself a little bit. But that's how I operate, right? I joined the Marine Corps. I'm used to somebody busting my balls if I don't do something right. So I'll just do it to myself if I need it done.
Your love language to yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
How many lieutenants are in your posse? Like people that you can turn to with open arms, like buddies, obviously, of your girlfriend and Dexter. But how many people, just like non-judgmental, would you say you can turn to as a man?
How many men do I think I could turn to that are non-judgmental? I would say, I mean, a lot more. Like if I sit and think about it, that list could get pretty long. But it's because I've also, the people that I've surrounded myself with and kept in my lives now are the people that I could turn to for these sorts of things. But no matter what, I know I could reach out to any of the Marines I have that with no judgment, no nothing. I could talk to them at any point. David, I know I could reach out to my dad if I wanted. My dad may not understand me, but he'll listen, right? So I would say that the list of people that I've curated in my life at this point are all here for the reasons that I know that I could go to them with anything and not have to experience judgment or anything like that. It would all just be encouragement. It's all love and things like that. So I would say that the men that I have involved in my life right now, I would say that all of them I could go to for something in any way and not have to worry about any judgment or stuff like that.
That's incredible. And I love the word you use, curate the people in your life, you know, just staying picky and just surrounding yourself with good people that celebrate your wins with you and are there with you for your lows.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like a lot of people are afraid someone will be judgmental, but I feel like most men aren't judgmental. And if they are, it's a projection of their judgment against themselves or 100%. Fear against themselves, you know?
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. I would say if someone's got a judgment against you, it most likely stems from an insecurity within themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just kind of the way I look at it, right? You don't know me as a person. So if you're judging me, it's based on something else that you've got going on. So that's it. Yeah. The people that are in my life are here for a reason, right? As I'm getting older, it's the people that you choose to be at your table, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather that be a small group of people and we all be on the same page for life than have a bunch of friends that are just acquaintances, right?
Yeah. Quality over quantity all the way.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's your hope for Dexter's generation of men and just how that pertains to mental health?
Don't be afraid to talk about it. Right? That's always been kind of the negative about it. Like, you don't talk about it. No one cares. Talk about it. Be honest. Communicate. Be there for the people you love. Let the people that love you be there for you. But my thing is that I just want this generation coming up behind us to experience the world in a place that's not so negative, right? Yeah. There's a lot of negativity in the world. So my thing is if you could continue to spread positivity in your life every single day, positivity like that's contagious. So every mm-hmm. single person you could touch, hopefully the butterfly effect will help, right? You're not going to totally change the world. But if you could just put that little positive energy out in every single person that you touch, then that's your way that you can go about and try to make the world a better place day in and day out. So that's what I would say. Just do your best to spread positive energy to everyone that you meet, so that you may not even know that person, but your small little thing might impact that person's entire day, right? It might change the way that person feels that day, which could cause their momentum and their small victories to start adding mm-hmm. up, right? And someone you may never meet and see again in your life, but you could have profoundly changed their life forever.
No, even just a smile. I mean, I was hearing this story from a Golden Gate jumper survivor, and he was saying that he just wanted at least one person to smile and he would have not attempted.
Yeah.
And not one person smiled at him. So mm-hmm. just smiling, being a nice human, it's free, you guys. Just, you never know how much that can impact someone.
Yeah. You don't know what people are going through,
it's, man. So true.
Yeah.
Especially during the holidays too. I mean, it's such a happy time for so many, but it's such a painful time for others.
Especially like during this time, so people are so stressed and stuff that people are just so they're ugly without maybe meaning to be, right? But
mm-hmm.
it's crazy what a smile and like eye contact might do to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Just a reminder that there's good people out there, but I was saying this in the last episode with Clint, but I firmly believe that there are more good people than bad. Yeah. I don't know if you would agree with that,
but I
firmly do.
Yeah.
And I just think that we have to remind others of that. And like just being a basic, decent human is the bare minimum.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, it's like what you see on social media, you see all the bad, but those are just the ones that are saying something, right? You got to think of how many people are actually out there that are, they're not saying anything, right? It's just the loud ones that are barking.
Yeah.
I believe there's more good people than bad. Yeah. Just people kind of focus on the bad things that are being said.
Yeah.
It kind of outweighs what's really going on.
Yeah. Happy people aren't trolling online in the comments, ripping people apart, you know?
Yeah. I ain't got time for that.
Or venting. That's true. Do you have plans with your son the rest of the day, or what do you guys have going on?
So tomorrow's his birthday.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's right.
So tomorrow's his actual birthday. So as far as today, not really much going on. Tomorrow would be a day of hanging out and having fun.
What are you guys going to do for it?
Right now, I don't know. I know we're going to take him to Target and let him just run and pick out some stuff. So
that'll
probably do that. Usually let him pick where he wants to go for lunch. He'll spend the evening with his actual dad.
Mm-hmm.
Probably take him to dinner and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
So we just kind of hang out. We had a party for him on Sunday. So
okay,
we had family
fun.
Over. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people came to show up and celebrate him.
Yeah. He had probably close to 20 people over there on Sunday night. Yeah. So pretty good little group.
Aw. Well, I want to end on a happy note, so I'm going to ask a more lighthearted question. What's your favorite compliment you've ever received?
Favorite compliment I've
yes.
ever received? Ooh. I've been told my energy sometimes is contagious. Like I'm a little wound up sometimes. I got a lot going on. I'd be a little hyper. And just being told smile and my energy was contagious sometimes, I would say that's probably off the top of my head what I could think of is probably the best thing I've heard.
Yeah. That's like the best compliment you can receive, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Someone's being like, I love your energy, or like your energy is contagious, you know?
And it's usually when I'm being myself at the most.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know that it's not too much for people to handle sometimes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you feel most yourself, like you're saying, like when you're by friends and family working out.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Blake.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. And again, thank you for serving. And if you haven't already, listeners, again, adaptivetrainingfoundation.org, recommend checking that out. And Blake is an inspiration to many and myself. And just talk about it, you know, find your community, find a mentor, find your purpose. Some great takeaways here with Blake. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah.